variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here with the wife, the mother, the author, the novelist, the dancer, the educator, and, of course, radio talk show host, podcast host, Melissa Itell Duran. And she's the subject of two separate documentaries. If you go to melissaiteljoran.com or go to Roku channel and go to Amazon Fire, you can watch the two documentaries there. And without further ado, Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Doing well, and just watching these protests, and I'm flabbergasted at how anti-American and anti-Jewish some of these protests are, and it's very disheartening to watch some of this stuff go down.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that this is being allowed, that there's no control or concern, that the administrators of these so-called prestigious schools have allowed this to fester.
Yeah, I mean, what's the worst that you've seen during this whole process since October 7th, which, by the way, let's remind everyone, is October 7th, 2023, was when Israel was attacked, unprovoked, attacked, and children and old folks and anybody just indiscriminately was slaughtered by terrorists. And that's what started this whole war, and somehow that gets lost in the process.
Yeah. I mean, this is amazing. These so-called pro-Palestinian protesters are really pro-Hamas, and they condone everything that happened on October 7th, the killing, the slaughtering, the raping. They just condone everything. To me, that's an abuse of a First Amendment privilege, where you're actually harming, you're going out of the way to use this hateful speech. And that's bad enough, you know, and it is protected under the First Amendment. But to violently accost Jewish students, to prevent them from coming and going and bringing harm to them is unconscionable. And these administrators, these college presidents, don't seem to, either they don't care, they're afraid to do something, they don't want to offend the wrong people, and they allow this to go on. It's ridiculous. And if you look at, if you go online and look at, or even if you've been watching, you've been paying close attention to it on the many news, news channels, you see these large encampments, and they're right on the main campus, near the Lowe Memorial Library, which is very famous, and they're camping out there. They have the Palestinian flags flying, which I know they don't care, but it's all Hamas, and they are the epitome of huge anti-Semites, and you know it's terrible enough that they're there and they're condoning all that happened on October 7th, but to violently accost students who are of the Jewish faith is unconscionable, unforgivable, and I think this is a step too far. And this is not being, it's not just at Columbia, it's at Yale, it's at other schools, but those two are flagrant examples of how this has gotten out of control. And I'll bet you that when you look at enrollments in the future, a lot of Jewish enrollment is going to go way down. I mean, their reputation is already tarnished as higher institutions of learning, elite institutions. I mean, this is the way students of a so-called high intellect act. And then you also wonder, you have to ask yourself, and this has been posed many times by people online who've been commenting in different places, how many of them are actually students and how many are actually outside agitators?
Yeah. You wonder, and that was like the first thing I thought of, is mm-hmm. who's mixed in there, and who's
right.
trained to cause violence, and who's trained to rabble rouse and all of that. Frank McKay here with Melissa Itell Jern. To me, I don't trust anything. I'm such a cynic. And
yeah,
I just can't believe how this spun so far out of logical control. And I don't understand. And I don't believe it's an accident. I believe, you know, this is by design. The propagators of radical Islam. And again, I'm not talking about Islam. I'm not talking about Muslim religion. And I'm not painting everybody with the same brush. I'm talking about radical Islam that wants us dead, that wants Israel dead. I don't believe how quickly and how successfully they've been able to turn the hearts and minds of certain people. Certainly this, whatever this new generation is called, the is that Generation Z or something? You know, I don't know what where we're at now. You know, it's past the millennials.
I forget which letter it is too.
Yeah. I don't, Melissa. I just can't stand where this is going, and it's going in a very, very bad direction. And I hope and I pray that that Netanyahu is successful. I know. He's fighting it from every angle. And again, is he perfect? No, he's not. But he's what we've got right now. And the thing is that he's got to be strong. And I think he is strong. I don't think there's any doubt there. And so far, what he's been doing, I'm behind him 100%. I mean, I don't think he's too harsh at all. He's trying to destroy an entity, Hamas, that is proved that they desperately want to destroy Israel, and by the way, would desperately destroy America if they could. If they had nuclear capabilities, they would use it. And by the way, the other thing I want to point out is, and I don't want to be cocky by any means, because you never know what's going to happen, but that Iranian attack turned out to be fruitless for them, and they've got it 10 times worse. They got it 1,000 times worse than what they tried to do to Israel. They sent these drones, and I think we intercepted with help from America, right? Jerusalem and I should say Israel and America intercepted just about every one of those drones, right? Did you lose any people in Israel?
No, I didn't. I don't have any.
No, I don't mean you, but I'm saying, did Israel lose any people?
With the drones?
Yeah. I think there was one little girl who was hurt.
Yeah, that's right. I know, it's unfortunate, but no, it wasn't a major, not a major casualty list, no.
No, and they tried. They wanted to, you know, they if they could have destroyed. But I don't think they have as much as we thought they had. And the worst is that they got $6 billion from President Biden, right? Didn't he give Iran $6 billion in quote unquote humanitarian aid?
Oh yes, and that was part of the so-called Iran deal, or whatever fancy term they use for it. The deal, the big deal that they've renewed. Yes.
No, oh, you know my question. You know my question is. You know, where, you know, with that $6 billion, okay, they're supposed to use it for humanitarian aid. Oh, okay, so they're going to use that for humanitarian aid. And for anything else, they're going to use for military. But here's my question to you. I guess the big question is, how strong is Iran?
Well, I'm sure they have a nuclear arsenal. They may be saying, oh, no, we're abiding by the terms of our agreement with the United States. And then, of course, you know, Biden and his group said, "Oh, this will make sure that it'll curb the attempt to build a nuclear arsenal. This will put Iran on guard. You know, we'll have a check on them, and we'll safeguard the world, right? I'm sure they have. Israel has all the information. They know what they have. They're not sitting there." Without anything, Iran has built up plenty of things, plenty of munitions in the last several years, They're not lily white. I don't believe that they're using all this for humanitarian aid. They're helping.
It's ridiculous.
In fact, they are the biggest supporters of state-bred terrorism. I mean, they're the big backbones of Hamas. You know, and Israel knows what they have. And Israel has, and this is an open secret, Israel has been talking about, taking out the Iranian, any Iranian holdings, bombing Iran, which has brought a lot of consternation from many, members of the political spectrum, namely people like Chuck Schumer, who called just before, some weeks ago, called for the ouster of Netanyahu. I mean, in the midst of all this, I mean, who could imagine something like that? But I mean, look, Israel did this back in 81 with Saddam Hussein, and they took out, I believe, some nuclear, the beginnings of nuclear capabilities. They had to bomb the plants, and their info is terrific. Their intel is top notch, and they did it. They had to safeguard themselves, Now I know this is over 40 years later, but they're facing a big threat.
Yep. You're hearing the voice of Melissa Eitel, Jordan, Frank McKay here with Melissa. We know what Israel can do, and Israel is not—they're not afraid of Iran. Everybody else around Israel is begging them, pleading with them not to do it. But they did a counterattack, and they caused a lot of damage. What was the consequences for Iran after they did this failed drone attack? And by the way, it wasn't one or two drones; it was like 300 drones, right?
Right, and they miraculously, with the U.S. aid, with the Allied aid, and of course with the dome, with the Iron Dome, they were able to intercept these drones.
Yeah. Well, and what I'm saying is that's amazing. What was the consequence for Iran after that? What kind of damage did Israel inflict on Iran?
Well, they
struck inside a very sensitive territory. It's not a rhetorical question. I'm not up on it. What did you read? What have you heard that Iran did in retaliation?
Well, Iran claimed that this was an unabashed attack on innocent civilians in this UN sponsored area. I don't know what they call it, the world something or other, and it was deliberate. And for Israel said they apologized. They said we didn't know who was there, we didn't mean that. But this is war. You know, when you're in war, things happen. You know, October 7th happened. And then, no matter what people say, they're going to say that Israel was asleep at the wheel, and these people should not have been invading the country with through paratrooping and whatnot. But they started it. They slaughtered people. They killed babies. They massacred people. They did unmentionable things to women. This wasn't. This, they did it. Hamas-sponsored terrorism did this, and I don't believe it's necessary. It's all in the name of Palestinians. That's a lot of malarkey, as a president would say. They're in a war, and people are going to get hurt. And you don't want to hurt innocent people. That's true, but that's the casualty effect.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing too, is that as far as Israel goes, they're not. And again, stop me if I'm wrong. They really aren't afraid of Iran. What they're dancing with is, and well, they're afraid. They don't trust Iran and Iran, I should say, and they know that they could do anything. And if they have nuclear capabilities, trust me, I think they would have used it already. But I don't know that they can get it out of Iran. The Iranians, I don't think that they trust that they could launch this. If they couldn't hit anything with these drones, with these three, and I mean, they hit nothing, basically, right? I mean, they all got taken out. Then quite frankly, Israel knows, and I have a complete faith in Israel's intelligentsia, right? And their country's intelligence, I think, is impeccable, regardless of what happened on the 7th of October. It was a sneak attack. That could happen to us. It did happen to us, by the way. And I think we had excellent on 9/11. I'm talking. We have excellent intelligence. You know, the FBI, the CIA,
right.
All of these things, excellent intelligence. And when you're not expecting it, every once in a while, a terrorist, once in 30 years, once in 50 years, once in whatever, you can get attacked, and they could do serious damage. The serious damage they did was almost 3,000 people dying in America. But I don't think it's because of a lax attitude. I think we just weren't, you know, expecting it. And now I think we're always expecting it, and we're watching it. But
we knew. The Bush administration knew. They got intel briefings in the summer of 2001 about Osama bin Laden saying these things and his rhetoric. And I guess they said, oh, all right, whatever, we know who he is, you know. And I think they didn't act on it. And they didn't act enough on it, strongly enough on it. And I don't know. And then of course, in those days, and this was only 23 years ago, it'll be 23 years in September. We didn't have very strict airport protocols. I mean, I remember flying was very easy, relatively easy then, as compared with subsequent years. I mean, it was a breeze to go in and out and to get, you know, go in line and go through customs and go through security. It was easy. It wasn't like this.
Yeah. Again, Melissa, itelljordan.com. Check out the documentaries there. Frank McKay here with Melissa. You know what I'm trying to find out, and I'm just looking at it now. They're showing us satellite images that have been analyzed, showing the damage of Israel's retaliation. Right? They did attack. Let me see. Israel-Iran attack. Damage seen at airbase. And Isfahan, do you know that? Isfahan, do you know that? Am I reading this wrong, or that's where the retaliation? Now, Israel has promised, I guess, President Biden and the allies to scale it back, because Biden, quite frankly, and some of the allies. Great Britain also was a great ally of ours and Israel, but they don't have the stomach for it. The protests are growing louder and louder to, that almost like Israel is a bully, you know, to Palestine. But they stopped Israel from doing a much larger strike on Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think eventually something is going to, you know, something's going to hit the roof.
Yeah.
Because we know who the players are there. We know who's against Israel. You know, China is all in for it.
Well, that's who we don't want. We don't want China involved in this. I know that they're involved from behind, but we don't want them openly into this.
No, we don't. We don't. We have enough, you know, Taiwan is on the horizon. We know something big is going to happen with Taiwan. China's gearing up for a takeover of Taiwan. Everybody knows this. The question is, when? Is it going to be this year or next year? The estimate is next year. How are we going to respond to that? We pledged our support. The House just passed a big package deal for aid to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan against the protests of some of these really far right strung out people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has been against all this from day one.
Maniac. She's a maniac.
She sounds like a ranting, you know, mental case, a raving maniac. The more I look at her, the more I see what an odious person she really is.
Disgraceful person.
Oh my God.
She's AOC on the right.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh my God. And if you look at her, she looks crazed. She looks it's Is she married?
I don't know who would marry her, but I don't know whether she is or not. But I can just imagine you know, there's got to be a woman shortage somewhere if she ended up getting married, because she's a disaster. I mean, she's Omar, or she's Tlaib. You know what I mean? She's that on the right hand side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God. But she looks really. She's not even. She looks the more you see of her, the more unattractive she becomes.
Yeah. It's hate from her standpoint. Yeah. She hates people. She hates Jews.
She must. Well, AOC doesn't like Jews either. She doesn't come out and say it, but she's aligned with an anti-Semitic group. You know, the squad. The Gang of Four plus two, as I call them.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you know whose daughter was arrested? On a Thursday, the president of Colombia actually called the NYPD in to manage the crowds, and they did arrest some people, about 100 of them. I don't know. She didn't call them back. She said, well, we're going to work on it. And she's talking, you know, she's talking through both sides of her mouth. I think one of these days she'll be resigning, too. And she... When she did call the NYPD on Thursday of this past week, do you know whose daughter was among the arrested on campus for these sit-in protests?
Who?
Ilhan Omar's daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
A student at Barnard.
Oh, my God. That's your alma mater, right?
Barnard is my alma mater. I went to Columbia University as well for graduate work. Now, this girl, we haven't heard a word.
Great school, by the way, Barnard.
Thank you. Yes, yes, and I just wonder what integrity these schools will have in the future, really, based on what we're seeing right now.
Disaster.
I think fewer and fewer parents are going to let their kids go. But she was arrested with the group. She was protesting on the Columbia campus. We haven't heard a word from her mother, the illustrious Ilhan Omar.
I wonder if she's proud of her daughter, or if she's going to give lip service that, I mean, what does she do? She probably, her silence speaks volumes, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she's very proud of her. I'm sure. I mean, she's a chip, girl's a chip off the old block. She's peddling the same speech, you know, anti-Semites and anti-Semitism. Even though she, in her, you know, they're all saying, no, this is about human rights. Yeah, right. When it comes to assaulting Jews, that's not human rights.
Listen, Congresswoman Omar is a piece of garbage, an absolute piece of human garbage, mm-hmm. and so is Tlaib, and so is AOC. It's, the squad are anti-Semitic pieces of garbage. I mean, they just, and Marjorie Taylor Greene is the same, is the absolute same.
I know. These people are on opposite ends of the political spectrum, but they are so much alike.
Yeah, I'm wondering where this all ends. You know, Israel has to look around and say, geez, we're on our own. You know, I mean, I know America's with them and America's been whatever, but Biden, I think Biden is playing a game where he says, listen, I've got to respond to the left here. It's a wink and a nod, you know, do what you have to do, but I have to denounce you guys every once in a while. And I think it's a game they're playing.
Well, he said quite openly, I understand. Yeah. Where you're coming from and that you've been attacked and this and that, but if you want to go on an all-out rampage, you know, you want to wipe out everybody, all your enemies. We're not doing it. We're not helping you. You're on your own. We're not going to be, you know, complicit in this. We're not condoning any of this. Don't do it. That's what he said.
See, I think he almost. I hate to say it, you know, because I wouldn't be. I would be just, you know, steadfast behind Israel, 100% steadfast behind Israel, and I am. But I'm saying, even if I was president, I would do it. But I think that he almost is in it. He's trapped. He can't. He can't just say, "Go get him, Israel. Go get him, Netanyahu." Mm-hmm. But he wants this. I don't know if he wants this to happen, but he doesn't. He's not going to do anything to stop Netanyahu. Unless somehow or another he saw this as losing the election for him.
Right. Well, of course, he's worried about offending anyone who might possibly help his re-election. And I'm still wondering at this point, is he really going to be there or not? Are they going to replace him? But in any event, no, he's got enough problems with the left that has accused him of being the source of all these of all these problems in Gaza because of his support of Israel, the country's support of Israel. Well, not the country's. Let's just say the government's official support, because there are a lot of Americans who are against supporting Israel, Ukraine, and probably Taiwan. When all is said and done.
Well, how is Trump holding up on Israel? Is President Trump, former President Trump, is he steadfastly backing them? All indications says he is.
Well, he is, but of course, with the caveat. Well, if we had been in office, none of this would have been happening. Now we know Trump is in the midst of his hush money trial is going off. Today's the first day of deliberations, and they're not allowing a camera in the courtroom, so you have to get secondhand news.
Yeah, how come they're not allowing it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think they don't want it to become a media circus like the OJ case was.
Yeah. Yeah, circus is one word for it. And circus is the only word, because they don't have anything bigger than circus. Yeah. You know, circus is a circus.
Right.
You know?
But if you were to listen to CNN's coverage, and they're camped outside the courthouse. Not like the students in Columbia. They're at a respectable distance.
Yeah.
You know? They're not holding any flags with Trump and a big X. But they're doing respectable commentary. According to CNN and MSNBC, this is a bigger than life thing. This is the biggest miscarriage of justice. Ever carried out by a candidate who has been, fleecing America ever, since he ran in 2016.
Yeah, wow. So I mean, this is going on with the overdraft of the backdraft of Israel and Hamas war. Israel and Palestinian war, and Ukrainian-Russian war, and looming over all of this is the U.S. election, and it's pretty amazing. And I guess since 1968, we haven't had a war be so dominant. And correct me if I'm wrong. Well. 72 with Nixon, mm-hmm. McGovern, to get out of Vietnam, the handling of that. But 68 and 72 is the last time that a war is going to have such an impact on an election. And quite frankly, the bigger in the bigger picture. The war doesn't involve us. In other words, it does involve us, but we're not we're not officially at war with Palestine. Mm-hmm. We're not at war with Russia, right? We're not at war with China. We're not at war, thank God, with any of these people. But of course, we're strongly backing Israel, and we're strongly backing the Ukraine. My question is, how much of an effect will those operations, those wars, have on our nation's presidential election? I mean, do you think it's going to be a big reason why people vote for one or the other?
Well, up there with abortion, it could be. I think we see that a lot of Republicans. We're not on the bandwagon with the Speaker Johnson, who changed his whole tune.
Yeah.
And he originally was worried about his job. Now he he was threatened, you know, if you pursue this big aid package, you're going to be you'll get your walking papers, you'll be out on the street. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, who we know is the most fanatical anti-aid package, anti-everything, she threatened, she's been calling for a whole petition, a whole movement to throw Johnson out. And of course now this was the nail in the coffin. He went against all these protests, and he said I guess his conscience started to bother him.
Well, who the hell does she want? She didn't want McCarthy. She didn't want any of these other folks. And now figure Johnson was her pick.
He voted along with everyone. And I don't think any of us really knew who he was before he was.
I didn't.
I never heard of him.
No.
He was a hardworking representative from his state. And he did a lot of local things for his state, but they went with him, and he voted along with them, and he changed his mind. He couldn't live with himself if he were to deny, these nations in need. And there were a lot of people who appealed to him. In fact, there's another congressman, I don't know if he's a Democrat or a Republican, who said, when in my grandparents' time, nobody came to the aid of Jews, and they perished in concentration camps. And if we do the same now, and we ignore Israel, we ignore Ukraine and Taiwan, we're going to be repeating those mistakes. And maybe that played on Speaker Johnson's conscience.
Yeah. Now, who said that?
One of the a congressman, Max. I can't remember his name. He appealed to Johnson. To listen to his thinking, his way of thinking, because it's true. Nobody was there to help the European Jews in 1935, 1938, and nobody cared. I mean, in this country, there was no state of Israel, so Jews had no voice, basically. FDR knew what was going on, and for whatever reasons, he decided to, I guess, focus on other things in the war. And he's been an object of much criticism through the years from historians and from others. And some people defend him and say, oh, he really did care about Jewish people. I don't know. And if you talk to people who were around then, they learned of this and they saw what was going on, they were less than pleased with his policies.
Jeez, Melissa, it's an amazing world that we are currently living in.
Oh my God, yes. It seems like 1938 all over again.
It does have that feel. I mean, it really does. I don't know if there's a particular end game that anyone is hoping for other than getting through this election. Like, I think Biden, I think if Biden won the election, he would he would just go along with whatever Israel wanted. I honestly feel that way. But right now, everything's about getting reelected for him and to get and for Trump to get elected in the first place. So, in my mind, we're all about this election. That's what it is. It's all about getting elected.
Yeah. Right, and we have to see what happens with this trial that is going on. They say it's going to last, this Trump trial will last about 6 weeks or so. We'll see whether he gets indicted. He'll get indicted somehow, somewhere. The question is, how is it all going to play out? And if he's a felon, will people still vote for him? And how is he going to conduct, is he going to be allowed to conduct his campaign as a felon?
Yeah. This is crazy. MelissaEiteljuran.com. Go there and check out the documentaries. And again, Frank McKay here with Melissa. I don't know what's going to happen on that end. Is there enough time for former President Trump to be convicted of a felony before the election? I don't think so, right?
I don't know.
With appeals and everything like that?
Oh, there'll be appeals. I don't know what's going to happen with this New York trial. I mean, it seems everybody's against him. I mean, you know, let's face it, it's Manhattan. You know, yeah. It's all anti-Trump.
Yeah, it
I
is.
Don't know. I don't know. It's crazy.
But ironically, the place he lives is is what could take him down. I don't know. What seems to be the direction that it's going in? If you were going to prognosticate on this, what do you see happening?
It's very possible.
Of a conviction.
Yeah, it's possible, especially given the makeup of the jury. I mean, we haven't heard all the witnesses today. The National Enquirer head. The head of the publisher, who was called today as the first witness, because he was in on this whole Stormy Daniels arrangement. You know, Stormy Daniels, A.K.A. Stephanie, whatever her last name is, was the prostitute, was a call girl, prostitute, escort, whatever, whom Trump paid off, and of course the, you know, Alvin Bragg and the rest of them claim, oh, this should not have been written off as a business. It should have been listed. This is a violation of campaign finance law. This is it's stealing from, you know, election coffers, and you know, they're trying to make this into a capital offense. I don't think, personally, big people, powerful people have done this year in, year out for generations. I could think of worse things to do. This might be a terrible thing for Melania. I'm sure it's very humiliating. I don't know what, you know, where she is and all this. I think they live apart anyway, but this is a humiliating thing for her to have to relive.
Yeah, I feel bad for Melania. I mean, she's got to be going through all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I don't know how this all ends up. And again, I agree with you. I don't know. You know, there's worse things that he's done personally, that Trump has done personally, and that he won't get in trouble. But if this is what they get him for, you know, it's almost like Al Capone, right? Al Capone didn't go down for murder or racketeering or you know, anything gangster related. Al Capone went down for tax evasion.
Yes,
and that's right. What they got him on. They didn't ultimately get him on anything violent. They got him on tax evasion.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's just the same thing. And I'm sure there are a lot of people saying, "Well, I don't know if Al Pacino. I'm sorry, Al. Al Capone is going down on tax evasion. What is it? He doesn't do anything else that others did. You know, people were probably saying that back then." But, you know, but right now, if that's how they got him, they got him. And I think that's how they're looking at Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what they are. And we'll see what happens. It would be fascinating to see if the first president who is being tried, you know, he's put on trial. And let's just see if he gets convicted and what ensues after that. That might make him even more popular. I think more and more people want to vote for him. Oh, look,
martyr.
Look what they're doing to him. Yeah, exactly.
Martyrdom.
My God.
Fits him. Yeah, I mean, I talk to people all the time that think that Trump is being outright persecuted for no reason.
Yes, exactly. That's what they feel, that he's being led out to pasture. He's the sacrificial lamb. But the thing is, even if they do convict, where are they going to put him? They can't just put him into Rikers Island.
No. Hey, Bruno, who's your bunkmate? That guy Trump.
And this is Donald Trump's bunk. He shares a cell with Bruno.
You see him slow dancing with some, big rough guy.
Oh no!
Put a candy bar on the bed.
Oh my God! And then he'll be doing his Zoom campaigning from the cell. This is Donald Trump. And you see what they did to me. But we're gonna win back the White House, and I'm gonna get them all.
Oh my gosh!
And what will they do? The debate from them? Do a Zoom debate between him and Biden?
God, oh my God! Yeah, I don't think it's gonna come to that somehow or another. I just I don't think this campaign is gonna take place in a jail cell.
Yeah.
I might be completely wrong, but I think he has enough options for appeal that it'll keep him out of there.
Yeah, that's possible. You're probably right.
Well, Melissa, we started out these protests. They're horrendous. Shame on the people that are anti-Israel and attacking Israeli students. Not even Israeli, Jewish American students are being attacked for no reason whatsoever, other than the fact that they're Jewish. It does feel an awful lot like the 30s.
It does. Oh, my God. It's just, it's chilling. It is. It's not 1933. It's 1938.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, listen, as always, we wish everyone a great thank you for what they've done, and that's listening to us each and every week. And we thank you so much for doing that. And,
sure do.
Yeah, and again, just keep listening, and we'll give it to you the way we feel, and I think unbiased. You know, I mean, we're certainly not to the left. That's right, and we're not super right either, Melissa. Right? I mean, we're not. We're moderates.
Not. Yes, we are, and we try to be as balanced as we can.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Melissa, thank you, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you. Yes, thanks, Frank, and to all who are celebrating tonight, happy Passover.
Yeah.
And let's hope for peace.
Have a blessed Passover, everyone. And Melissa, thank you. You too, you and your family have a blessed Passover.
Thank you. And
thank you for listening. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on the Melissa Itell John Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell-Duran and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.